The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's time for Q&A with Layla. That's our weekly feature where we answer your questions with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. For those of you unfamiliar with this feature of Intelligent Medicine, Layla Mutin is the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. She sees patients together with me and individually for nutritional consultation. And she is the possessor of a RD degree. She's a registered dietitian, as well as a master's degree with advanced study in the field of nutrition. So without further ado, here's Layla Mutin. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Good, good. So holding up in the heat?
I will never complain after this past winter. Ever.
You really kind of knocked the heat intolerance out of us because, you know, we're still thawing out our bones from that very, very cold winter.
That's true. And heat does not bother me, really, so
good.
It's all right.
All right. So we've got lots of questions. By the way, the way to get questions to us, I'll remind you, is email us to radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com. We won't be able to answer every single question. We select the questions carefully. But if your question is appropriate, and if it's something that is of general interest to our listening audience, we will read your question on the air and we will answer it to the best of our ability in a teamwork fashion with a medical perspective as well as a nutritional perspective. And a reminder, if your question is very long, very involved, very complicated, well, that may be grist for the mill for a medical visit with a nutritionally oriented health professional, because sometimes these problems, we can discuss them, but we can't really provide you with an entire medical opinion.
Yeah.
As some people seem to wish us to do.
<You know>? Yeah.
But, you know, an appropriate question might be, Dr. Hoffman, there's this new nutrient, Nutrient X. I've heard about it. What's your take on this nutrient? You know, and Layla, what? And then we can weigh in.
Sure.
Or, for example, give me a couple of suggestions for a child with asthma, you know, something like that.
But mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. So before we get to our questions, though, I want to your reaction to something that one of our devoted listeners sent to my attention. It's something that probably is spam email for a lot of people. It is a special announcement.
Mm-hmm.
You were privileged to receive the special announcement from Harvard Medical School, right?
Some kind of a newsletter that I meant to get back. Oh, something about vitamins.
Yeah, you got it too. You got it too.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to delve into it with all the email that we get, but I still have it on my list to look at.
I'll tell you, I'm going to just run it by you, and
okay.
it's very simple. Harvard Medical School. The reason I say you were privileged to receive it is because probably you're just not on the spam mailing list for this outfit that somehow fronts out for Harvard Medical School, because it has the shield of Harvard. And hey, everybody knows that Harvard Medical School, that's the smartest university, so that must be the smartest medical school in the world. And obviously this article is written by the smartest people at the smartest university and the smartest medical school. It's a special health report from Harvard Medical School, but actually what this is a pitch so that you can buy something.
Oh.
So it's very much like, you know, all the solicitations you get in your email, but it's very distinguished because it bears the seal of Harvard Medical School. And it says, "Dear reader, vitamins and minerals are so important that health fails if you don't get a steady supply of them. So far, so good. Do you know what you can do to make sure your body gets enough of all vitamins and minerals it needs?" Well, that sounds like a good proposition. You know, great. I'm in. I'll buy that. And then you kind of scroll down, and it says, and here's the tip-off. "The report will show you how you can improve and strengthen your daily diet to include the complete spectrum of nutrients," and this is the italicized part, it's in italics, And do it without the expense or risk of multivitamins or multimineral supplements.
What?
That's right. I'm reading. A smart, healthy diet with delicious and wholesome foods is the best and safest way to fulfill your body's needs for vitamins and minerals. So,
oh my goodness.
I didn't check the price on this little number, but if I click on this little thing here, it actually doesn't come up for me. But let me see what I got here. My computer's whirring. But what's your take on that? Harvard. Harvard. I mean, it's got to be right. It's Harvard.
It's got to be right if it's Harvard, right? So, you know, that idea alone is something. But I'm still not fully understanding the message. Just the message being stay away from vitamins, minerals, and just eat a healthy diet.
Right.
Was that the message?
I think that's the bottom line message. And for the small, I can't seem to come up with a price here. It says order today and save 30% off the cover price. And you know,
maybe they're trying to get you to buy a newsletter or something.
Yeah, clearly. No, it's actually a book. It's a book by experts at Harvard about how you don't need to take vitamins and supplements. And, oh, by the way, here's how you can get all the vitamin supplements you need from foods. So, you know, which is, yeah, fine. I'm down with that. That's great.
Well,
but it sounds like
a
vast put down of vitamins and supplements. So you're really not going to learn, you know, about nutritional supplementation and the vital role that it plays. I think they've already made up their mind.
That's unfortunate. Okay.
However, so it is a special health report from doctors at Harvard Medical School.
Oh, boy.
You know, maybe they just don't pay doctors at Harvard Medical School enough. Maybe they need to get, you know, they need to moonlight writing articles for newsletters like this. And
Something like that. Or, you know, maybe somehow pharma's involved. But, you know, just being so alarmist the way, like, CSPI is, the Center for Science in the Public Interest.
Yep.
That's another group that I have a big bone to pick with for many, many years now. But that's just ridiculous.
So pardon my snarkiness, but this is a publication of U.S. News and World Report, which is, when was the last time you read U.S. News and World Report? I think they have like a circulation of about 14. So I guess, you know, hey, look, they realize that health, this marketplace is a big marketplace, so they want people to buy into it. Hey, great. If you want to learn about vitamins and nutrients in foods, buy this book. If you want to learn about nutrition in a comprehensive, unbiased way, don't buy this book because they've taken the whole issue of vitamins and supplements off the table because they say they're expensive and risky, so don't bother.
It's underhanded anti-supplement propaganda.
Yeah.
So it's being approached here in many ways, not just media headlines, but this is, that's unfortunate.
Anyway, so that's
unfortunate.
Gary, who forwarded this to our attention, that's what we think of it. And don't really think it's worth your while. So stick with Intelligent Medicine for your nutrition science updates, and we'll try to provide you with the real deal. All right. So what are some of the questions that are in store for us today?
Okay. Here's a question from Karen, who emailed us. She says, it seems I've developed scar tissue and bone spurs. I take MK7. As K2 and strontium to prevent osteoporosis, my bone density has been normal for the past several years. Should I stop taking the supplements now? Do they have any complicating effects causing scar tissue, bone spurs, or enlarging the bone spurs?
So the answer is no. But you know, what are bone spurs? Bone spurs occur as a result of wear and tear, inflammation, and arthritis, and they can occur at joints, they can occur especially in the spine, and then they can cause compression of the nerves, and they can be painful. You know, bone spur in the shoulder is going to be painful. It will limit range of motion. However, you know, things that build bone and strengthen bone don't necessarily cause additional extensions of bone to grow, like bone spurs. So I would actually say that some of those supplements that you're using may have an anti-inflammatory effect. I know that strontium is promoted for bone strength, but actually there's some studies that suggest it's good for osteoarthritis. And bone spurs are a feature or a product of chronic osteoarthritis.
Yeah. I can think of some occupational hazards where people have bone spurs on their shoulders, like waiters carrying heavy trays, cameramen, people working in television.
Yeah.
They've got bone spurs that won't go away. People have bone spurs on their heels from doing certain activities. There's all kinds of reason.
Right.
For bone spurs, scar tissue, from what? It could be from surgery, from an injury that didn't heal well. Bromelain is great for scar tissue.
Right. I would say for something like that, consider like Wobenzyme as an anti-inflammatory nutrient. That might be a good thing, good way to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Karen, take your supplements. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, on the other hand, I can't tell you that there is a magical supplement that's going to make bone, going to melt away bone spurs. I think bone spurs, you know, it's a structural problem. It's there. It's not going to be dissolved by any type of vitamin or supplement. But I think that preventing the problem that causes the bone spurs, which is osteoarthritis, is worthwhile. And we do that with diet modification, with supplements like fish oil and curcumin and boswellin. Mm-hmm. And niacinamide also has a claim to fame in osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
SAMI.
Very, very good.
For the pain of osteoarthritis. So those are some things.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Karen. We have another question.
Yep.
This is from Jerry. Okay. I have just been diagnosed with genital herpes, and the doctors put me on an antiviral. Mm-hmm. I also started taking 4 olive leaf extract pills a day. What other advice do you have? I've read everything on the internet, including hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, like oral hydrogen peroxide, I guess that's what he's talking about. Because, you know, unless you want to have lighter colored pubic hair, you know, applying it to the genital region. I mean, that's like a, you know, what they put in hair dye to turn you into a blonde. I don't think taking
that's
it internally.
That's got a sting.
It's got a sting. It's like also, you know, not aesthetic. But the other thing is, taking it internally, there's a little bit of a craze or a fad for people drinking hydrogen peroxide. I really don't think that's a good idea because it's a really strong oxidizing compound. And when we talk about free radicals, boy, that's really going to send your free radical quotient up. And it could irritate your throat, your esophagus, your stomach. Probably not a good idea. And even if it were not to be harmful to your delicate intestinal mucosa, what are the odds that the hydrogen peroxide is actually going to get into your system after you take it orally? It's not that much. I mean, I've seen accounts of using intravenous ozone, intravenous hydrogen peroxide. It's called oxidative therapy. I think that's a little too fancy schmancy for this. I really like the idea of the olive leaf extract because there's some antiviral properties to olive leaf for sure.
Yes.
And I would also suggest, you know, our protocol using
lysine is a good preventive, at least. And for an active infection, I think you could double, even triple the dose of L-lysine.
What would you say to take at that point?
I would say for an active infection, probably 1,500 to 2,000, three times a day, empty stomach.
Yeah, and then for maintenance, maybe
3,000? For maintenance, 500 to 1,000.
Oh, okay, so one pill twice daily or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we use. Also, can you comment on the diet that you tell people to go on for
herpes? Yeah, there are certain foods that contain the amino acid arginine, which is somewhat essential, arginine is contained in certain foods, and that will actually feed the herpes virus. And you want to reduce the amount of arginine-containing foods, but if you're not quite able to do that, you really want to increase your lysine so you have a higher ratio of lysine to arginine.
So decrease the arginine, increase the lysine, right?
Right. You want to decrease the arginine and increase the lysine.
Right.
So the arginine-containing foods to decrease are corn, Brussels sprouts, believe it or not, nuts like almonds, like peanuts, chocolate is another one. So for chocolate lovers out there, and certainly anything that's going to suppress your immune system and set you up for a breakout, you know, sugars, starches, you know, too much junk food, not getting enough sleep, all of that. Even sunlight is irritating.
How about, you know, just some general immune support measures? I mean, the things we mentioned are very specific targeted towards virus. I think one of them might be monolaurin.
Monolaurin is great.
Which is taking either extra virgin coconut oil orally, using it in cooking, or taking some extra virgin coconut oil, or taking the product monolaurin, which has antiviral effects. I would say EGCG might be a good choice.
Yeah.
Certainly in HPV, human papillomavirus, it's helpful. Empower, which is AHCC, active hexose correlated compound from Japan. And
I would definitely take Ester C.
Right.
And certainly more Ester C and zinc during an active infection, just for the healing of the skin.
Perhaps vitamin D, because it's also generally helpful in immunity. Mm-hmm. So, those are some of the things that might make a difference. I think that's pretty much our repertoire. And then for patients who have acute infections, sometimes we'll give them an intravenous vitamin C drip, and it really knocks it out.
What about B12, Dr. Hoffman? Do you think that's something helpful for?
I think there's some literature on B12 and herpes, but mm-hmm. it's not as robust as some of the other things that we mentioned in terms of the scientific evidence.
Oh, and what about what Dr. Jeffrey Dack?
Oh, here's another one. Yeah, I will mention another one that's kind of an esoteric one. Lithium, okay? Lithium orotate. This is actually comes to us from... perhaps it comes to us from Dr. Jeffrey Dach, right, who's a very innovative doctor in Florida. I recommend his website because he writes really interesting articles, comes out with very interesting protocols. But this actually is a Jonathan Wright thing, who is our pioneer in complementary medicine. He has explored the use of lithium orotate in treatment of herpes. And lithium, of course, is it's an anti-bipolar medication.
Bipolar, right. Okay.
But the amount of lithium used in his protocol is much lower.
Okay.
But you can look up lithium, Dr. Wright, herpes, put it in a Google search, and that I haven't used that too much, but that is something that might be... Usually we don't have to use it because our patients do respond pretty well to this, to the other things that we use.
Right. That's true.
What did you remember from Dr. Dach? It was something else?
No, that was some of his protocol, the lysine. I was thinking about vitamin C and the lithium,
which
was interesting.
Yeah.
Olive leaf.
Sure, yeah. Well, he's already on that.
He's already taking, right.
I mean, you can go up to like 9 a day if you really want to slam it with a potent antiviral. Mm-hmm. So, great.
Yeah. Okay. Best of luck, Jerry. All right.
We have time for another? Yeah, we have time for another one in our first segment. And then after this question, we'll go to a break, and we'll separate this into two parts, as we usually do with Q&A with Layla. So fire away.
This is from Charlie in Virginia. How safe is Testofen? And then his other question, which we could answer quickly, is how to take CM Core and Diaxanol with or away from meals. You take them both with meals, Charlie.
Okay. And can we explain what those things are for? We'll get back to that.
Yeah, CM Core or Berberine. CM Core is wonderful for insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, even GI issues, because berberine is helpful for so many things, as is Diaxanol. It's a combination of chromium and gymnema to help with high blood sugars, insulin levels, hyperinsulinism, all of that. Taking 1 to 2 each day with meals is the standard dose for most people.
It's great for insulin resistance. Really, I just read a review of the berberine, which is an extract of either Oregon grapefruit or golden seal, that you sent me, Layla. You sent it to me this morning, and I read it with great fascination because apparently the action of berberine is very similar to the action of a medication called metformin or glucophage, which is a popular diabetes medication. In my mind, actually one of the only worthwhile oral diabetes medications. So patients have a lot of side effects with glucophage, and therefore we're very happy to recommend CM Core, which contains berberine as an alternative to that to help bring down blood sugar. It also seems to be helpful for cholesterol. And, really a beneficial supplement.
Yeah. And without the side effects, it's the natural metformin without the side effects of metformin, which can be some depletion of B vitamins like folate, some B12.
Right. Mm-hmm. So great.
Testofen.
What is that?
I don't know. It sounds like some kind of a testosterone supplement.
Why is it spelled?
Testofen.
Testofen.
Hmm.
Well,
I've not heard of it.
I'm going to go to the Google Journal of Medicine here. All right, let's see who can look it up first. Okay, testofen is fenugreek. Fenugreek. Testofen is the branded name.
To boost it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the brand name for standardized fenugreek extract.
Mm-hmm.
And it is tested and shown to increase sexual desire, help maintain sexual health and muscle mass, and support the immune system. Well, look, here's the deal. I don't know if it works, number one. And many of these things are highly touted. There may be some literature on fenugreek for enhancing testosterone. Maybe it works, maybe doesn't. But what if it did? What if it did work? And what if it did raise testosterone? Do you really think it's a great idea for it to be available to men to buy over-the-counter at will in a health food store or via or online without a doctor's supervision or without a kind of a medical checkup? Because when I make
the decision... Well, you know what would be the barometer for finding that out? If all men start to become bullies and start becoming... start picking fights.
Actually, it could be the other way around. It's like low testosterone men tend to be grumpy old men. You know,
so okay. All
you know, it's like if you have adequate testosterone, you kind of like feel self-assured and confident, and you kind of like... You know,
I was talking about the too much testosterone.
Too much testosterone. If it really worked, I mean, if it really, 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 you know, it's like
you'd be picking fights with everybody. Okay,
right, right. But so you know, it looks like a decent product in that it is. I think it's pretty standardized, and it's made by, I think, a pretty legit company. The question is, does it do the trick? Where's the science? And if it did. You know, for example, I mean, I saw a guy yesterday, you saw him too, who's a 71-year-old guy, and we've been watching his PSA. And his PSA has gone up, and then it went down, and it was actually fairly normal, but it had gone up a little bit to 2.1. And so finally, you know, this got a little nerve-wracking, and the doctor said, you know, your prostate feels a little funny. And the guy said, look, I just want to get over with, do a biopsy on me. And the doctor did a biopsy, and he found cancer in like three quarters of his prostate. And the type of cancer that's a little more advanced and that will require treatment. Now, let's say this guy was just, you know, he's got, you know, a young wife, and he wants to be a little bit more, shall we say, active. And, you know, he came across this stuff, and this stuff really does work, and it raised his testosterone. Maybe not such a good idea, right?
Absolutely not a good idea. Yeah. So even the indiscriminate use of things like that over the... Yeah, you need supervision on many of these things. Agreed.
Yeah, I promise to do... you know, we're doing this clinical focus series now, and I'm trying to march through as many medical syndromes as I can, looking at it both from a conventional alternative standpoint. We did this with Alzheimer's disease this week, and you can check out the podcast at drhoffman.com. And... I promise to eventually do this for erectile dysfunction and look at some of the options that are out there and see if they're realistic options or whether they're just sheer hype. And I think the vast majority of it is hype. I mean, I think there are some things that might have a gentle enhancing effect, but the vast majority of the products out there are sort of taking advantage of the fact that men are very insecure, they're nervous about taking testosterone, they want to take a natural alternative, but some of these natural alternatives don't really deliver.
I'll bet you'll get a whole lot of hits on that podcast, erectile dysfunction.
I think it's going to really rock.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So this is on that note, let's pause. And when we come back, we'll tackle part two of this week's Q&A with Layla. And Layla, what's coming up in terms of questions?
What's coming up? How to lower sex hormone binding globulin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything else?
And then, beyond that, questions about a urine test and protein in the urine.
Okay. Very good. So this is part one of Q&A with Layla. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.